10. Excuse me. It takes us the same 2 hours to fly through the desert. Eventually, we get back through the city gates, past the fountain, past the bigger houses, and then into the market. Excuse me, sorry, I say for the 10th time. The problem with having a flying carpet that hovers only a few feet off the ground is that we keep bumping into people. Magic carpets must not be too unusual around here, because no one starts to scream when they see two kids and a dog on a flying rug, but people are annoyed by the constant bumping. When we arrive at the street where Aladdin and his friends were playing duck ball, a lot of kids are there. But no Aladdin. I hope his nose isn't still bleeding. Watch it, says the girl with the dark brown ponytail when we accidentally knock into her with the carpet. Sorry, I cry. Hey, do you know where we can find Aladdin? At his house, she says with a wistful look. He's lucky. Do you want me to tell you how to get there? We nod and she gives us directions. Thanks, I call out. And sorry. I can't help but wonder what she meant by lucky. Aladdin's house is in an area with lots of narrow streets that crisscross and zigzag. Jonah, sharp right! I warn him when a woman leading a white goat suddenly veers into our path. Got it, he says, and turns left, but at least we didn't crash into them. Abby, he says, looking around, I think we're here. We see a small stone house that matches the description the girl gave us. Okay, now we just have to get Aladdin to listen to us. But I have a plan. We pull over and hop off the flying carpet. Prince runs around in circles for a minute. I think someone is very happy to be back on the ground. Where do I park it? Jonah asks. The carpet is still hovering by his knees. I don't see any carpet parking, I say. I wish I had a lock for it. I can't just leave it here. What if someone takes it? Who wouldn't want a magic flying carpet? Just roll it up, I say. It's not that big. You can carry it under your arm like Mom does with her yoga mat. Oh, yeah, he says. He pulls one of the tassels toward the ground, and the carpet drops down. Then he rolls it up and stuffs it under his arm. All set. Good carpet, he says, patting it. We walk up to the house, and I knock on the door. A woman answers. She's around my mom's age, with curly black hair and dark eyes. She's wearing a long blue dress and blue slippers. Can I help you? She asks. Hi, I say. You must be Aladdin's mom. I'm Abby, and this is my brother Jonah. Oh, and that's our dog Prince, I add, glancing at Prince, who is sniffing the air. It smells like something delicious is on the stove. Welcome, Aladdin's mom says. My name is Nada. Aladdin is inside. Come on in. We walk into a small living room with a tattered, gold-colored couch, a rocking chair, and a small wooden table. There's a thin, faded blue rug on the floor and purple-patterned throw pillows. The walls are covered with family photos. Aladdin as a baby. Aladdin with his mom. His grandparents on their wedding day. The house feels well-worn and well-loved. His mom sits down at the table in front of a bowl of carrots. She starts peeling one. Aladdin, your friends are here. Aladdin is lying on the couch with an ice pack on his nose, reading a book. He glances at us and sits up.
Hey, you're the girl and boy and dog from the duck ball game. You're the one who hit me with a duck ball.
I am so, so sorry, I say, flushing. Are you okay?
I'm fine, he says.
He takes the ice pack off his nose to show us a small red bump. I wince.
A little bruised, but no big deal.
I exhale in relief. I'm Abby, by the way.
I'm Jonah, my brother says.
Is that why you came by? He asks. To apologize?
He puts a string bookmark in his book and closes it. I'm suddenly reminded that I gave up on my 10th book for the readathon to come here, and I still can't help Mary Rose at all. Maybe there's still a way, though. I have to keep trying, right? But for now, I really have to focus on the mess I made of this fairy tale. Aladdin is staring at me.
Oop, circus, Abby. No, I mean, yes, of course, I wanted to apologize, but actually, we're here because we'd like to introduce you to someone, I say.
Who?
He asks. The princess, I tell him.
Jasmine,
Jonah cries. No, I tell my brother. That's not her real name, remember?
Princess Badr al-Badr?
Aladdin asks.
Yes.
Do you like her? I ask.
Do I like her?
Aladdin repeats.
She's amazing. I've never met her, but she's always doing good things for the village. She volunteers at the medical clinic and had a library built and stocked with books. We don't have a school, but I hear she's working on that.
Wow, she sounds like a really great person.
What would you say if I told you that you and the princess were going to fall in love and get married? I ask.
Aladdin starts laughing so hard that he falls off the couch. Even his mother is chuckling.
What? Jonah says. What's so funny?
Hello, Aladdin says. I'm just a guy from the village.
He lifts his foot.
I have holes in my sneakers, dirt on my cheeks. At the moment, I even have a bruised nose. The princess would never fall in love with me. I have nothing.
He laughs again.
You're funny, though.
That can't be true, I say. The girl you were playing duckball with called you lucky. Why are you lucky?
He blushes.
She meant that I was lucky to have a mother and a house. She's an orphan, a street kid. She sleeps at her aunt and uncle's house, but they don't really want her there. She spends most of her time hanging around the streets.
Oh, I say. You are lucky, then.
And you're going to get even luckier, Jonah puts in.
That's true, I say. I glance at my ring. I'll tell you what, I add. If you come with us to meet the princess and all goes according to plan, you can keep our genie.
Aladdin's dark eyebrows shoot up.
What plan? What genie?
Well, if everything works out and we can get back to our home, you can have this magic ring. A genie lives inside it, and she grants wishes.
Aladdin doubles over in laughter again and slaps his knee.
You guys are hilarious. You should have your own comedy show at the theater.
Show him, Abby, Jonah says.
I slide the ring off my finger. I rub the side. The sparkly purple haze comes from the ring, and Karima pops out. She's still wearing her silver jumpsuit. But this time her long pink hair is in a high ponytail.
Say hi, Karima, I say.
Oh, hello,
she says, nodding at Aladdin and his mother. Their mouths hang open. Aladdin's eyes are huge.
You really have a genie,
he says.
I've heard of genies, of course, but I've never seen one up close. Can she really grant wishes?
Yes, and if we give you the ring when we go home, then she'll grant your wishes.
Aladdin crosses his arms over his chest.
Let me see her grant a wish.
Oops. Well, she can't right now because she's already granted 3 wishes today. She has a daily maximum. He rolls his eyes.
I'm not sure I believe you. I mean, a girl did just pop out of your ring in a cloud of sparkly purple, but still, I don't know.
Believe them, Karima says.
Then she yawns and stretches. Maybe granting our 3 wishes today made her sleepy. I can relate. I put the ring back on my finger, and she disappears. Aladdin stares at the spot where Karima was standing less than a second ago.
Wow! She's gone just like...
He snaps his fingers.
That!
Told you! Jonah says. She's a real genie!
But how are we going to prove it if Karima can't make a wish come true right now?
Look, Jonah says, unrolling the flying carpet. She made this for us.
Of course, the magic carpet. Go, Jonah. The carpet hovers a couple of feet above the ground. Aladdin's face lights up.
Cool. I've always wanted one of those. Can I try it out?
Yes, I tell him. As long as you'll come with us to the palace to meet Princess Badr al-Badr.
Okay,
Aladdin says, rushing toward the door.
I'll come. Mom, I'm going to the palace.
Be home soon.
Netta stands up, a carrot in her hand.
You are absolutely not going out at this hour. It's dinner time.
But, Mom, you heard what they said. Look at the flying carpet. You saw Karima. She's a genie, and we're going to get to keep her.
Aladdin, your new friends seem very nice, Netta says. And it was thoughtful of them to apologize for hurting your nose. And maybe they managed to come across a real genie. A genie who suddenly can't grant wishes, she adds skeptically. But it's late, and you haven't eaten. You can play with Abby, Jonah, Karima, and the carpet tomorrow.
But, I start.
No buts, Netta says.
I look at the clock on the wall. It's 8 p.m. I glance at my watch. It's 12:25 a.m. at home. Jonah's stomach suddenly growls. Netta smiles.
Are you hungry?
She asks, looking at both of us. I'm starving. And Jonah is always hungry. We both nod.
You will share our dinner, she says.
Awesome, Jonah says. Thanks. A little while later, we sit down at the table. There's a small plate of lamb stew that would be barely enough for my dad alone, and warm flatbread. Everything looks and smells amazing, but how can we eat their food when they have so little? Jonah reaches his fork for the meat plate, but I put my hand over his. We're really not that hungry, I say, even though my stomach is growling. We'll just wait until we get to the palace tomorrow. Netta smiles warmly at me.
I cannot let children go hungry. Please help yourselves. I even have a small bone for your dog.
She goes to the tiny kitchen area and returns with a bone. Prince happily gnaws away on it on the rug. Aladdin's mom is really nice. I serve Jonah to make sure he won't take too much, then myself, then pass the plates to Aladdin. I notice he's careful to leave his mother a decent portion.
This is so good, Jonah says. It doesn't even need ketchup.
That's his ultimate compliment. Jonah is obsessed with ketchup. When dinner is done, I look up at the clock. It's 9 p.m. I look down at my watch. It's 12:30 in Smithville. So 5 minutes at home is an hour here. I was right. That means half an hour at home is 6 hours here, and an hour at home is 12 hours here. Half a day. What day is it? I ask. It was a Wednesday at home. Aladdin's mom raises an eyebrow. I guess it is a weird question.
Monday, she says.
Okay. I do the calculations in my head. If Jonah and I want to be home at 6:45 a.m., that's 6 hours and 15 minutes from now in home time. If 1 hour at home is 12 hours here, then we have 3 full days and 3 hours left here. That should give us plenty of time. Hopefully.
Abby, Jonah says, if we're not going to the palace until tomorrow, where are we going to sleep?
Good question. Maybe on the flying carpet? Sure, it's wobbly, but so are waterbeds, right? Netta eyes us.
You don't have a place to stay?
She asks. No, I admit.
You will sleep here, she says.
Yes. You don't mind? I ask.
It will be our pleasure.
Thank you, I say. Netta offers me a long, colorful nightgown, and Jonah a pair of Aladdin's pajamas.
Comfy, Jonah says. Do you think I can bring this home?
I yawn, laugh.
We'll see.
Netta unrolls an extra mattress on the living room rug. Then she and Aladdin say goodnight, and Aladdin climbs a short ladder to a small loft that holds only a thin mattress and a shelf with just one book. Netta goes behind a beaded curtain to her room. Prince curls up on the rug with his bone. Jonah and I stretch out head to foot on the mattress. We haven't slept head to foot since we were in the story Snow White. I hope he doesn't kick me in the face again.
So tomorrow we just introduce Aladdin and the princess and hope they fall in love?
Jonah whispers. He sounds unsure. I swallow hard. It's true that in a lot of the fairy tales we go into, the characters don't fall in love. Sometimes that works out for the best. But what if Aladdin's right?
What if the princess won't even talk to him because he's so... not royal? And what if Karima's magic isn't strong enough to make jewels in a grand new palace? Aladdin will never win over the Sultan. He'll never marry the princess. And it'll be all my fault. That's the plan, I say, trying to stay positive. I flop over onto my stomach. I just hope they don't hate each other.